We are currently tonight in Acts chapter 13, verse 13 through 16. Acts 13, 13 through 16. And we are on the verge of examining the first recorded sermon of the Apostle Paul. We're not going to get there tonight, but we're on the verge. Lord willing, we'll tackle that sermon next Wednesday night if the Lord tarries and provides for us. But tonight we want to look at those important verses that lead up to that sermon. And those verses are 13 through 16. So let's read the text, and then we'll pray and try to say some things that I trust will be helpful to you and glorifying to the Lord. Verse 13. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John Mark, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. And that's God's word, and all God's people said, Amen. If you'll remember, last week we looked at verses 8 through 13, and what we saw there that I think was helpful is that we realize that although there is opposition, we serve a God who is all-powerful over all opposition. And the Word of God, or the Gospel, is the power unto salvation. So, we must proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and be fully confident in doing it, in the power of God to overcome any and all opposition in the gospel not going forth. Satan and his people want to keep people from hearing the gospel and responding to the gospel, but we are to go ahead and spread the gospel, knowing that God is powerful enough to overcome the opposition, and it is the gospel that is the means by which God saves souls. I think we falsely think that when we are in God's will, somehow we think that being in God's will means things go easy and smooth. And when we're not in God's will, things get tough and difficult and trying. And I would remind you tonight, that's not necessarily true. In fact, the opposite is often true. Being in God's will leads us to opposition, while being out of God's will does not seem to have the same aggressive opposition from the world. I want you to look at verse number 13. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John Mark, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. There is a problem that is mentioned here in verse number 13. Do you see it? When Paul and Barnabas obeyed the Lord to be used of God in this missionary task that they are undergoing. You remember we learned that they took with them Barnabas' cousin, John Mark. And John Mark was one of those assistants to Paul and Barnabas, and he did a lot of the work that went on behind the scenes so that Paul and Barnabas could carry out the task that they were called to do. We're told here that Paul and Barnabas and were traveling a couple of hundred miles to Antioch in Pisidia, and we're told that John Mark did not go with them, but instead John Mark departed from them and returned to Jerusalem. Now, before we get there, let me just back up because I put this in the wrong place, but I wanted to show you tonight the travels here that we are looking at of this first missionary journey by Paul and Barnabas. So here's Antioch. Let me change the color on that. Here's Antioch. This is the church that sends them out. And you remember, they went down here to the coast where Seleucia was, and then they travel by boat to this island of Cyprus. They come to Salamis, and here is Paphos, where the governor of the island of Cyprus was led to the Lord by the Apostle Paul. And then what they are going to do now is travel across this part of the Mediterranean Sea. They're going to come to Pamphylia, and they're going to be at Perga. And then they're going to travel up here to Antioch at Pisidia. So you'll notice that they're in this region, this Galatia region, at Antioch at Pisidia. So that's sort of a visual of where we are. So let me go back here. Now, we're not going to be told by Luke why John Mark leaves. We're just told that he leaves. He doesn't tell us if there's an issue here that would cause John Mark to go back to Jerusalem. Paul will later in Acts share his view that this departure of John Mark was an abandonment of them, of Barnabas and Paul, in Pamphylia. Again, John Mark would be that one who was the helper to Paul and Barnabas. He would labor behind the scenes doing important things so that Paul and Barnabas would be free to share the gospel. And we really don't have any idea how important John Mark was, but he seemed to be extremely helpful and important. And we need these kind of, we need the John Marks in, we need helpers in the church. Let me give you an example how easily we can overlook those who are helping in the background. The example is we have a fellowship dinner here at church. When we have a fellowship dinner at church, tables have to be gotten out. Chairs have to be gotten out, put around the tables. Tables are decorated, coffee is made, food is prepared and served. After it's over, things are cleaned up, tables and chairs are put back, lights are turned off, doors get locked up, and really not many people give a thought about who did all of that, who takes care of all of that, who sacrifices so that we can enjoy our time together at the fellowship. But the fellowship is only possible because of what goes on behind the scenes, what's not seen and what's not overly appreciated. Paul, I think, becomes upset about John Mark's leaving because John Mark was so helpful. And he was so needed by Paul, who may be, probably is, developed some kind of sickness at this time. And John Mark would be extremely helpful. When John Mark leaves, now the ministry that was shared by three is now shared by two. And that makes it much, much, much harder. Now, I do want you to notice something here in this verse. Up to this point, anytime we have been referring to Paul and Barnabas, Barnabas has always been mentioned first as the leader, as the figure that is the leader in the work of the Lord. But here we see that Paul is mentioned, and Barnabas and John Mark, right, are mentioned as just his company. So that's a change. Paul has now become the central figure and the leader here. Maybe that's what's sort of stuck in John Mark's crawl. It may be that John Mark came on this missionary journey to help his cousin Barnabas, who was leading in this task. And maybe John Mark disapproves of this shift in leadership. Maybe John Mark is not as enthusiastic about this new emphasis being put on the conversion of Gentiles, John Mark being a Jew. Maybe John Mark was homesick and wanted to go home. It may be that he was physically sick himself, or that he did not want to go and expose himself to the Galatian region where it was known for many cases of malaria. We don't know why he leaves, but Paul tells us later in Acts and describes his leaving as anything but a good thing, and refuses to take John Mark on a second missionary journey, which causes a rift between Paul and Barnabas. So why do I say all that? Well, if Paul alludes to the fact that John Mark left for not a good reason, that he sort of revolted and abandoned them in the hour of need, I think it makes Luke's simple statement that he left even more significant. Because Luke could have said a lot in conjunction with this. He could have put John Mark in a very bad light. Yes, but he doesn't. He simply says that he has left, and there's nothing more that he wants or needs to say. He left. He doesn't get into why. He just reports that he left, and that is enough. He doesn't post it on Facebook. He doesn't give the reason on Facebook. He doesn't assign blame or put John Mark in a bad light. He just reports the facts. John Mark went back to Jerusalem. Maybe we need to learn from that. Maybe we need to learn from that. That we speak the truth. John Mark left without all of the reasons or the speculation that we can have that would put that person in a bad light. John Mark left, doesn't tell us why, and doesn't assign any blame to John Mark at all. That might be something we can attempt to do better at. But opposition to Paul and Barnabas has come, you remember, from the outside through that sorcerer that tried to keep Sergius Paulus from the faith. So we had this outsider, satanic influence, trying to hinder the work. And then here comes opposition from the inside. You need to expect that. Those who are close to you may be the very ones that in turn are sources of discouragement and disappointment to you. Say amen. It's not always the world that is opposing the work of the Lord. Sometimes it's those in the church. It may not be an outside satanic sorcerer that is opposing you, but it may be those who are right around you. It may be someone in the church that will leave you high and dry. But that's what happens when you serve the Lord. Say amen. Serving God is not easy. If it was, everyone would be doing it. There will be people who you depend on who will let you down. You may feel they have deserted you. Their leaving will hurt you, and it will hurt you very deeply. But God didn't promise you that it would be easy, did He? Nor did God promise you that He would not allow people to abandon you. In other words, when you're up there trying to get things cleaned up, there will be people walking out the door, leaving the cleaning up to you to take care of. And God didn't promise that He would have people help you clean it up. He did not promise it would be easy. So what do you do? What do you do when your John Mark departs from you? What do you do when you're left with more responsibility and more work in the ministry to do? Look at verse 14. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia. So John Mark's leaving and departing from them, leaving more work in the ministry for them to do, did not stop them from carrying on the work. Somebody help me. They went on. They kept serving. They did the work that they were called to do without John Mark. And John Mark will go back to Jerusalem, and he will miss seeing, and he will miss being a part of the fruit of the work of God that is to come. And Paul and Barnabas would have missed seeing it too and experiencing it as well if they had not kept on serving despite John Mark's departure. So, despite the disappointment, despite the discouragement from outside opposition and inside opposition, the idea is just keep serving. Keep going. And don't say negative things about those who oppose you. Because God is sovereign over all that as well, isn't He? Don't let the opposition hinder your service or cause you to become negative toward others. And it's very easy to do that. Say amen. Luke says, they went into the synagogue on the Sabbath and sat down. Now here's the question. On the Sabbath, would you expect Paul and Barnabas to be anywhere else but the synagogue? Would you? If the Bible said it was a synagogue, where would you immediately suppose that Paul and Barnabas would be? In the synagogue. Paul wanted to be with people who were interested in God and God's Word. Paul was interested in sharing with these Jews the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ. He had just led the governor of the island of Cyprus to the Lord, and here he is, not in the palace trying to lead other leaders to the Lord, but in the synagogue where the common people were who needed to hear the word read and expounded. He's doing what he was called to do by the Holy Spirit. And no matter what city Paul and Barnabas were in, no matter how tired they may have been, no matter how late their ship got in the night before, no matter how sick they might be, they made their way to the synagogue on the Sabbath. It was the pattern of Paul and Barnabas. I put an article in tonight's bulletin, if you got one. And the article is an article about the importance of church attendance, which I think we have almost totally lost in our culture in our day. But let me read just a short part of it to you tonight, in case you didn't get one or you're not in a habit of reading those articles. Quote, "When the gospel is at the center, our focus shifts. We no longer view church attendance as something we just need to check off, but as an intricate part of our spiritual lives. Instead of serving the God of individuality, we will be serving the God of Scripture." End quote. So what this writer of this article says is that the gospel changes everything. But we must let the gospel change our low views of church and recognize that the house of the Lord is absolutely vital to the Christian life. The emphasis of the article, if you will read it, is the argument that faithfulness to the house of the Lord is a mark of spiritual maturity. And excuses for our constant absence is the mark of spiritual immaturity. Say amen. Notice verse 15. "And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." So here's Paul and Barnabas visiting this synagogue, sitting in the synagogue that morning after the normal ritual of the synagogue service, after the reading of the law, after the prophets were read, the scriptures were read. Then it's time for someone, either the rabbi of that particular synagogue or some visiting rabbi, would give a word of exhortation to the people from the scriptures. Now, can I say something here? If Paul and Barnabas would not have been in the synagogue that morning, they would not have had the opportunity to exhort the people. Say amen. They would not have had the opportunity to be an encouragement to those that were there that day. Say amen. Do you know that you cannot minister to your brother and sister in Christ if you're not at church? You can't be a blessing to those at church if you're at home. You can't be used of God to minister to the body of Christ if you're not there when the body gathers. Somebody help me. You can't encourage, you can't comfort, you can't cheer, you can't cry with, you can't rejoice with anyone if you're not there. Do you know what Paul did? He went to the synagogue prepared to serve if given the opportunity. Say amen. And we are to come to church faithfully, to worship God who is worthy of our worship, And we are to come to church faithfully, considering one another to provoke unto love and to good works. That's what the writer of Hebrews said, right? Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. How many of you think that we're closer today to Jesus Christ coming back than we were last Sunday? Well, the Bible says you ought to gather together more, exhorting each other more as you see that day approaching. You can't provoke anyone to love and to good works if you're not here. Say amen. And you can't do it if you're not prepared to do it. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever during the week thought about, considered, contemplating who in the church you might encourage that particular Sunday morning and how you might encourage them? Say amen. Have you done that? Who did you come to church tonight to encourage? Who did you come to minister to tonight? Whose spirits did you come to lift up tonight? Who did you come to comfort tonight? You see, when Paul was called upon, he was ready to be a blessing to those that had come to church, to the synagogue that morning. Say amen. And I know there's times we have to miss, but I'm saying the faithfulness of God's people is a mark of maturity. It is a mark of those who understand that the church is a vital part of their spiritual life, and they have a responsibility to their brothers and sisters in Christ to come and provoke them unto love and to good works. Given the opportunity to share the gospel, Paul had prepared himself to deliver the message of the gospel. Amen. Now, I'm hoping that you are starting to see what made the Apostle Paul the man that he was. The influence and the impact of Paul is still felt today. Paul, in the face of opposition and danger, was confident enough in the power of God to overcome that opposition and go ahead and share the gospel. He was so committed to God and the work of God that God had called him to do, the opposition did not faze him. Paul was confident in the message of the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ, and what he had accomplished on the cross. And the power of the gospel to salvation. Paul was strong enough to press on and continue serving in the midst of heartaches, in the midst of those that he depended on, abandoning him, leaving him with more work to do. Paul was spiritually mature enough to go to the synagogue, prepared to speak a word of exaltation and encouragement to those that were there. My message to you tonight is always come to church ready to be used of God to minister, to help, to encourage, to comfort, to strengthen, to provoke others in the church. And do that consistently, week in, week out. So as I said when we started, we have a sermon coming up by Paul. It is a lengthy sermon. It seems to be fully intact. It is full of truth of how God redeems his people, reveals himself in history. And we don't have time to cover it properly tonight, but I do want you to look at how the sermon begins. Verse 16. Then Paul stood up so that all eyes may be fixed on him and makes a gesture, beckons with his hand and says, "Men of Israel," those would be Jews, "and ye that fear God," those would be Gentile proselytes. And what's his aim here as he begins this sermon? He wants them to give him attention. He calls on them who are there that morning to give their attention to what he is going to say. And, you know, one of the things that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, the scripture says. And you know what the wisest thing you could do when you come to church? Listen. That's the wisest thing you can do when you come to church. That when God's word is being exclaimed and expounded, that you give it your undivided attention. And it is those who have reverence for God and his word that give audience and attention to his word. What Paul was getting ready to say from the scriptures was going to be most helpful to those there that were hearing it. It was important for them to hear what Paul was going to say, and they were going, and Paul was desiring that they give their attention to what he was going to say. Because Paul's going to show them that the power of God to redeem his people will come through the work of his Son on their behalf. It's simply, I think, respect, right? For God's word. And for the man of God who's speaking the word, who has studied the word, that we give the preaching of the word our attention. Now, if someone's entertaining you or doing other things besides preaching the word of God, I would say that's not worthy of your attention. But when the word of God is being read, and when the word of God is being expounded, that's worthy of your attention. Because those are God's words. There's something important and vital for you to hear. And so, next week, we will give our attention to Paul's sermon and his exposition of the scriptures in his first recorded sermon in the scriptures. Amen? So, don't forget what we have said. Sometimes it's important for us just to state the facts without all of the miscellaneous details. Say amen. In other words, if someone doesn't come to church, you don't have to tell people why they didn't come to church. You can just say they didn't come. You don't have to say, "Well, I saw them coming out of the Red Dot store, so I'm not sure what's going on." Now, those details that would cause people to see your brothers and sisters in a lesser light don't need to be said. Say amen. Just state the fact they weren't there, they whatever, and leave all of the details that would cause people to look less at them, just leave those unsaid. Amen? And be faithful. And don't just come to church to receive. Come to church to give. To give God your worship and to provoke your brother or sister in Christ toward love and good works. There are people here that need encouraging. There are people here that need comforting. There are people here that need a lot of things. Who have we thought that we can come to church tonight and encourage. Most of us haven't thought of anybody, but we should. Say amen. You know who's going to need a lot of encouraging? Audrey. Amen? But there are others here, right? Linda facing treatments on almost a weekly basis. She needs some encouragement, say amen, from her brothers and sisters in Christ. So come to church prepared to worship God and prepared to be a blessing to your brothers and sisters who are here because they need it. Amen? Let's pray.